Welcome back to 1 year between takes with Opal Entertainment! What? I'm Andrew Driscoll.
And I'm Livia O'Neill.
And today we're going to talk about the things we like best about this show and the things we want to add in and change going forward.
Yes, I can't believe we've been doing this for one whole year! We also talked a little bit about beauty, a few new ideas that we thought of over the weekend.
So if that's your jam, sit back and enjoy this week's episode of
Between Takes!
Wow. Mm-hmm. Picked up the water bottle with your toes. Hear that, folks?
Sorry. Is that loud? Oh
my. Welcome back to the show, folks. 1 year between takes. Liv, how do you feel?
It's pretty great.
Yeah.
Can't believe it. Whole year.
Yeah. Have we committed to something this long before?
Opal, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. But there's like a specific project we're working on. This is pretty exciting.
Yeah, we've taken breaks in different things, but... Three seasons worth.
Coming up on 50 seasons. Yeah, our first two seasons. Or sorry, 50 episodes.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
What is the long... I wonder what the longest running podcast is.
It's probably Joe Rogan, which is like 1,200 or something like that, probably. Wow. It's probably more than that, honestly. Anyway.
But like longest run, like consistent, not necessarily like episodes, you know?
Like if you add up the most, like the time of each episode?
No. Like, someone's been recording a podcast consistently for 5 years, or 10 years, or 11, like...
It's probably Joe Rogan.
Oh, okay.
Well, I think he probably has the most episodes, and he's been doing it since, like, the 90s, I think.
Okay.
In some short, shape or form. So, today, Liv, you're not totally clear on what we're doing. Is that right?
Right. Sorry. I mean, I know a little bit, yeah, but what are we doing?
So, it's been a year. Mm-hmm. I feel like we kind of found a tone that worked for us within the first couple months. We found a like system of this is kind of the feel of the show. This is what's comfortable for us, which was nice. It's good to feel like we found a stride in a way.
Yeah.
But we haven't branched out a ton since then. So today we're going to brainstorm ideas to see how we keep things going forward.
Cool.
As well as get a little bit of listener feedback. Should we call Chuck and see what he thinks?
Sure.
Okay.
Are you back?
Yes. You're on the show, Chuck. Say hello to the folks.
Hello to the folks.
Do you want to call tell the folks what you were telling me before I called you just now for the first time? And this wasn't a planned thing or anything. No. Do you want to tell the folks kind of what you were telling me beforehand?
About just like what makes a good podcast or what I thought you and Liv do?
Yeah, this is...
Type us up, basically.
Why am I so bad at communicating? It's so clear in my head and I'm just not communicating it well.
That's okay.
What do you like about the show and where do you want it to go in the future? That question.
I think the podcast could be... A little more, like, have less topics.
How dare you?
Like, in the sense of just, like, kind of letting it free flow. For lack of better words. I think it, just to add an extra sting to Aiden, maybe sometimes let Liz speak a little bit more.
Thank you, Tony.
Thanks for calling, Chuck. Bye-bye.
Okay. But again, that's just because, like, you know, you're my brother, and I know most of what you're going to say, I already, like, have a feeling, just because, you know, the whole us growing up together and whatnot.
Yeah, that happened.
Yeah.
Nothing we can do about it now.
Yeah. Also, I think I like the your guys' music episodes.
Okay. Like,
those can be swell. It is interesting to hear you guys chat about literature, just because, I don't know, I think, like, I hear, like, you talk to you, Aiden, personally, you talk about, like, music and movies and everything, and it's, like, it's obvious that, like, this is what you've talked about and thought about for years now and everything. Mm-hmm. But then literature... comes up in a weird way. It's like you still know it and everything. It's just it's not as fluent to you. That's to say, you don't read much. You're kind of
kind of a dunce when it comes to literacy.
No, but like, you know what I mean, right? Like,
yes.
You certainly have like a good collection of books and everything. It's just like those don't seem to take up a lot of our conversations and everything.
Right. Okay.
And so, yeah.
So, to recap your thoughts, Liv should talk more.
Uh-huh.
You like it when it's less structured, when it's more just free-flowing conversation.
Yeah.
And you want us to talk a little bit more about literature and do a bit more of, like, hands-on music discussion and integration.
Yeah.
Okay.
Awesome.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Chuck. We appreciate it. Thanks for being on the show with us.
Okay.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Okay. So, hi, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was nice of him.
Good. I feel like he's on the podcast the most via phone.
I think, is this...
Like, we've never interviewed him, but he's been on more podcasts than anyone.
Hasn't he only been on one other episode?
I think maybe we've just mentioned things that you've talked about, but I feel like he's been on a couple. Like, maybe this is the third one, I thought.
Okay. Well, we called him the one time, and then the two of me and him did the whole Star Wars episode.
That's true.
And then,
oh yeah, I forgot.
Did you ever listen to that one? Just there this morning. Really quick story. There's a new Star Wars trailer for a new show dropped yesterday, and so I was telling Liv about it this morning, and I got like 10 seconds in, and she just stared so blankly into me, and with just the most sincerity goes, "I don't know what any of these words mean," which I thought was funny.
Yeah.
Can we?
I usually listen to the podcast. I mean, but that was one where it was like over Christmas and sure. You like edit it and got it up. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll just recap. So I talked to my father as well, mm-hmm, about this. I talked to my mom as well.
Wow, this was not spontaneous. This was like,
No, that's, I pitched this idea to you like a week ago.
No, I know, but you like.
I pretended it was spontaneous, yeah, for a second. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Showbiz.
But I got like some feedback and whatnot on the topic of the podcast. And here he is. I'll just let him say it. Hey Dave, how you doing?
Hey, good. You called.
Yeah, do you have just a second?
Uh-huh.
Cool. Welcome back to the show. You're on air live. So if you say anything racist, you will be canceled on the spot.
Saying something racist is based on who I am, and since I'm one of the semi-fascist deplorables.
What?
Sorry. Can you tell the folks what you were telling me earlier about the things you like about the podcast and the direction you would like to see it going in the future?
Tell the folks, is this really the thing?
Yeah, we are recording, and Liv is here.
Hi.
Hi, Liv.
Hi.
What do I like about the podcast?
Mm-hmm. And where would you like to see it going in the future?
Well, I like hearing you guys analyze stuff, say why you like this thing and how it matters and why this change in rhythm or camera angle does what it does, even though you don't always know the answer to the question, of course, and obviously because you're talking about psychological effects that things like that have. It's cool to talk about them and speculate. So I'd love to hear, and I love it when you talk to other people because you guys get so energized.
Mm-hmm.
Talking to other people, and you get energized by community and by collaboration, and so it would be really cool to have more ongoingly. That's my racist word for today. Of course, all the words I say are racist. So what can I do? I'm sorry. What was I saying?
Ongoingly?
ongoingly, it'd be cool to have that, like, as part of a community, to hear what your, the guys in the National House Show with you have, mm-hmm, to say about those things. And you know, to hear Harmon's opinion on this thing, and then Rebecca says, yeah, I know Harmon said that, and I thought this.
Mm.
Not necessarily all there real time, but I think it'd just be really cool to have a conversation that just goes on and on and on. I mean, there's a way in which that gets silly and it takes up too much of your time, but to have a small part of it at least that was an ongoing, we week to week conversation between a variety of different people, I think would be really cool.
Okay.
It's a way of having a virtual community, you know?
Right.
It's hard to have communities. It's hard to collaborate. So this is this could be a small stab at trying to do something like that.
Sure.
So that's worth it.
Okay. Cool.
So that's what I think.
Those are all good thoughts. Well,
cool.
Thanks for talking, Dave. We appreciate it.
All right. Yep.
See you around. Fun. Sounds good. Right, say hi to everyone. Okay. Bye-bye. Bye. That was my father, David Gordon Driscoll. You can steal his identity now. Thanks, Dave. Liv, do you want to tell people about the chair situation right now?
So, Aiden got a new office chair. It's a swivel.
Yeah, it's not creaky.
It has armrests, and it looks pretty comfy.
Mm-hmm.
I, on the other hand, am still on our wooden, like, there's material on them.
Yeah,
but
they're comfy enough. They're just
they feel like
very
a wooden
creaky.
Chair. They're fine.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's where we're
but
at.
But now you're using the second one that I was sitting in as a footrest.
So does it even out then?
Not entirely.
Chair,
mine's
footrest.
Significantly superior to yours.
Yeah. I feel a little bit lower than you. I feel like a little bit less than.
Is it just because I'm like leaning back and
yeah,
swiveling back
like,
and forth?
Yeah.
I don't even have to worry about creaking or anything.
I'm just teetering
like that.
In a creaky chair.
Yeah.
You call it teetering?
I call it rocking.
Oh.
What you're
doing. I was always like, don't teeter.
Yeah, we would say don't rock. My mom would say don't rock. I never said that because I was like, I just want to rock all day.
So, yeah.
Cool. Well, that was a great sidetrack. I feel like those two, what we got from Chuck and what we got from Dave,
mm-hmm.
were kind of the opposite.
Well, yeah, they were just both quite different aspects of our
right.
podcast, I guess.
Chuck really liked the more conversational, free-flowing, non-centralized topic.
Yeah.
And Dave really likes the super zoom-in analytical aspect of
it. I don't know exactly what he meant, but I wonder if Chuck meant he likes when we go into it without a plan.
Sure.
And we still, like, dive in and talk passionately about something, but it's not like, this is what we're talking about. And I think that could be the same of what Dave was saying, too, depending. But yeah, definitely both different, which I kind of think is a cool thing because it means that we're doing something and they both listen to it regularly.
Right.
So it must mean that even though they want like different things about it, they can both find something that
sure.
they like. So
okay.
I don't think we'd want to like change completely
sure.
to Chuck's direction or completely Dave because then one of them would be left out. And that
yeah.
means that we're hitting all the different
and,
things. So.
And this is something I wanted to talk about on this very episode.
Oh.
Was about that exactly. Where I personally really like the ones where, I'm trying to think exactly how to phrase it. I like the ones where we don't know, where we don't have a goal. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The goal is just talk about it and get ideas out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I really, when I was editing Ray's episode, I was talking so fast.
Yeah.
I was talking fast
while
recording, but man, I was just...
I feel like there was
just,
like just steam coming from your head.
Yeah. Eamon told me he listened to that one and he had to check to make sure it wasn't on like double speed or something like that.
Really?
Yeah, he said he slowed it down a couple points because I was talking so fast. So,
funny. Maybe,
yeah.
I think it was just like a great, great, great
yeah.
episode.
But, and I think, and that was one, like when we have guests on, we have a few just like... very
questions.
Standard questions of like, you know, introduce yourself, how'd you get into music, how'd you get into, or whatever it is you're into or whatever. To kind of get to know you type questions and hopefully we find something within there. I feel like with Ray, we found it within the first like 6 minutes and we were just kind of off.
Yeah, it's always interesting
it was just
to
us
see like
chatting about stuff.
How you're going to click and meld.
Right.
I will say my favorites to do are the guests one.
Really?
I think
okay.
so fun. I mean, maybe it's just, I don't know, just hearing the different things and different experiences
mm-hmm.
and musicians, and it makes you feel, and maybe it's just like a selfish thing, but it's like me getting to know someone better.
Sure.
So I just, it's like a conversation. It's not
okay.
really hard to work at all. It's just
and like, I think that's in line with what Dave was saying about having it be more communal. And
yeah.
I would agree with that as well. And that's something that I think we've, I've really wanted to expand on in the future is make it more conversational, not
mm-hmm.
in conversational between us, but conversational within
yeah.
the community
Which,
of
I
guests
mean,
and then our audience.
Been
and all that.
Our goal since the beginning. I mean,
right.
I remember talking about it. So I guess coming up on a year, it's fun to reflect and see we had no guests in our first season.
Right. Yeah.
And then these last couple, and especially this last season,
mm-hmm.
people we, the second season was more people we knew.
Right.
Like family members and stuff,
mm-hmm.
which was still really great. But then this last season with people that we had just met.
Right.
It was almost like one of the lengthier conversations we'd had.
Right.
Which, yeah. So to see how that progressed is really exciting to me. It's like, we did that. That's really cool. And we got to know these people, and now we're doing a house show tour with them.
Yeah. Nationalmusichouse.org.
So. Anyway.
Yeah.
So I think that's cool that that was something that we wanted. So I guess it makes me think, well, yeah, let's keep on that route. Let's keep going. What more can we do? And Dave's suggestion of kind of bringing other people that we interview to listen to the podcast that we do with each other.
And something I was talking with Chuck about before we started recording was he suggested, like, if you have an idea while driving home in the car, like, just record that. And even if you don't necessarily include it in the episode, or maybe you do as, like, as that's the prompt or whatever, he thought, like, that might be interesting. Just
so it's not so formal.
It's not
we're sitting down and doing it. It's, like, part of life.
Right, right. And kind of integrating, like, yeah, like you said, like, the different aspects of where we are, where it's not always us in a studio doing stuff. I mean, we've talked in the past about trying to figure out, is there a way we can record it while, like, taking a walk?
I know. I was thinking about that and again today. I was like, I want to go on a walk.
I think we can. Maybe we should try that sometime, maybe this week.
It would be, it's going to be different sounding.
Yeah.
But I think I like that the podcast is mixed up. Like, sometimes we're sitting and doing this. The other day we were doing the music thing, so we're standing and, like, actually singing and stuff. Then we have a guest, and then we're on a walk. I think that's cool to me, not just... Sometimes, that's to me like a cool opal thing to do.
And I think something what we don't have to try very hard at is, like, the main heart of the show kind of stays the same. The basic...
Well, because it's us two talking.
Right, it's just, it's us talking about... But it's not... Well, here's part of it. There are a lot of podcasts that are just people talking. And a lot of the time, a lot of those podcasts about people just talking are very random stories. And some of them can be really entertaining, and some of them can be really boring and dumb.
Sure.
And I think it's that, but I think at the underlying that is, like, we're really good friends, and we want to continue to make friends.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of at that stage of life where we're not, like, in school or anything. There aren't any, like, pre-established... You need to be
units
friends with these
where
people.
It's like,
yeah, it's kind of up to you. It's like, if you want friends, you got to reach out to people, and you got to connect with them and establish that community and all that.
Yeah.
And we really, really, the two of us want to do that.
Yeah.
And so, even in the random hodgepodge episodes, which I feel like when we decide we're going to do those, it's kind of admitting failure. It's like, we don't have any, like, good ideas this week. So we're just going to do a hodgepodge episode. We can talk about that for a few minutes, for a few minutes. But I really like those episodes.
Yeah.
Once we actually get recording and once I'm editing them, I think, like, this was fun. This was an experience of, like, us connecting with each other and being
friends.
I wonder
if that's another thing of what Chuck was saying. It's like, it's not expected. It's like, what are you going to get?
Sure.
Not just like we're talking about Wonder Woman.
Sure.
It's the first movie that came to my head. I have no idea. It's been out for years. But so it's like, what are we going to hear? And so maybe that is part of it too. And so I would agree with that.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. So, as of now, I feel pretty resolved to stay the same in, because again, I feel like it's been a very similar tone for a while.
Yeah.
Maybe we do just try, I think, more guests, even just, like Dave was saying, a 5-minute segment with Louis, where we talk about,
segments, that was something I've been thinking about, a lot of, like, what's it called? You know, in your car and you can connect to your Bluetooth or your phone to the speakers and you have that little thing that goes in the cigarette lighter.
Yeah.
What's it called?
The little, like, Bluetooth connector?
Yeah. It is broken. So I've been having to listen to the radio.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. But in the mornings they have, like, the radio talk shows. So there's, like, two stations. One's, like, country and one's, like, the K-Love station that I've been going between. And that's just something I've noticed is, like, every morning, whatever, has their segment. And even though I'm not, like, super drawn to, like, I'm not, like, connected to these people, I don't really know their names. Sometimes they say something interesting. Sometimes it's kind of like, okay, I'm going to switch to the other channel and go back and forth between whatever. But sometimes, like, oh, that's the segment. I recognize that segment. Mm-hmm. They're going to do that. So that's just an interesting thing to, like, even I look forward to it. It's part of my day, even though I don't really, like, care about it. Like, it doesn't take up my head.
Yeah.
I don't think about it the rest of the day.
Yeah.
So that's just something to, like, maybe think about adding. And I don't know what those would be. And maybe it is. every episode is a segment, special guest segment. So it's not like a whole interview, mm-hmm. but it's like thoughts about, and maybe it's like really random. Maybe it's just like, what's your favorite cottage cheese? And it's like, your mom tells
that's
you.
That's a full segment?
I don't know. No, not every time, but just
okay,
like.
Okay, I was like. I think
the segment is asking random question to guests type.
Okay, so it doesn't always have to be cottage cheese.
No, but it's just random questions.
Okay.
Or like, tell us a joke or.
Sure.
Or maybe you have a joke of the week.
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, things like that.
Right.
Segments. I think that can be.
Do you want to hear it?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
What is your joke?
One of my coworkers was having a problem with her foot. And I was like, you should get a scan of some sort. Am I right?
That took me a second. A literal second.
Yeah.
No, you told me that before. Maybe you should explain it to people because I didn't understand.
When I told it to this isn't like a true story. One of my coworkers has been out of work for the past week or something like that because her foot hasn't been feeling good. And she had to get an MRI scan. And so I was like, she should get a scan of some sort. MRI? Like suggesting MRI, that's a type of scan, but also it kind of sounds like saying she should get a scan of some kind. Am I right?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
So I think it's good. Problem was, I wanted to text it to her because I know she'd enjoy it. Lori, if you're listening, I probably told it to you by this point anyway. But I couldn't figure out how to type it. Because I couldn't, like, am I right? That gives it away. Or MRI and then a parenthesis, am I right? You know what I mean? I feel like
yeah,
either way.
Yeah, that's like
and then I have to explain it right away.
It's that weird texting one.
It's, yeah. Anyway, that's my joke of the week.
Good one.
Thanks. Sorry, I cut you off. Did you have more to say on that Mm-mm. on that topic? You know, what are they called? Bit of honey? The, like, toffee candy?
I don't know.
Okay.
I forgot what
they're called. I just thought of it all of a sudden.
Oh, it's random.
Yeah. Great.
You know those caramels that have cream in the middle?
Yes. I mean, I know them
at Halloween.
Type of them.
It's like a wrap. Yeah, it's like caramel and then you can see a white circle. It's cream.
What's the wrapper look like?
It's just clear. You can just see you can see it. It's like it almost looks like taffy, but it's
like a saltwater taffy shape?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But it's like caramel, but
so
it has
like a super specific
cream in
it. Yeah.
It's really good.
Melissa has these, I think they're called Risen. But it's like it's dark chocolate and it's super good, but you bite into it and it's just so gooey and there's like this caramel in the
Where
interior.
Where does she get it?
I think she gets them on Amazon.
Wow.
So,
it's like
I need,
special order.
Right. I feel like I want to search that because.
Can you get it in bulk?
They are delicious. I think she does get them in bulk because she has this whole like shelf of candies.
What?
So yeah, she keeps it pretty well stocked.
At your work?
Yeah.
You get to have
it
whenever
great.
You want?
I mean.
You
yeah,
pay her?
I don't just like. Oh. She has a little cup there. It's like her, like for you know.
It's like a vending machine, but it's like
right.
Better than just
it's
the
so
Starburst.
Good. And then you get to chat with Melissa for a little bit, and then she'll normally offer you a drink from her little mini fridge. She has little like sparkling waters or something. You just hang out with her. It's a fun time.
That's nice.
Yeah, she's a good boss. If you're listening, Melissa, hey, welcome to the show. All right. Real quick. We're going to shift in a second to Liv has some stories and thoughts she wants to share. My mom mentioned, this is all, I was the one who was asking all the questions and the only people I've talked to since you and I have had this discussion were people I'm related to.
Yeah.
But my mom said she really likes the storytelling ones where we talk about, you know, like do stories need to be relatable? Is storytelling emotional manipulation? Those kinds of things. We're
sure.
talking about specific components within the broader storytelling. And then we can bring specific examples. But she said she really liked those.
Nice.
And I like those ones too. Mm. I like the ones where we go in with a broad question like that.
Yeah.
And then just kind of hash it out and hypothesize for a while. And I'm not like, I feel totally fine not having a definite answer by the end of it.
Yeah.
So that's that.
It's cool that it's so different between all the people that you just talked about.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Well, Liv, do you want to share your experience from the past? What was it, yesterday that you went?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I guess it was just yesterday.
Yesterday was a long day. We had a great, oh my goodness, guys.
Okay, guys.
Harmon can put on a show, I gotta say. I was surprised. She's such a chill person,
yeah.
And the other times I've seen her perform, it's just been her and a guitar. But this time, she had like a set mm-hmm. and other musicians playing with her.
So,
oof to
just
you guys.
To, like, this is the yesterday was the second week of our Starlet series.
Yes.
Through the National Music House.
It was so much fun.
It was outside. NationalMusicHouse.org. And yeah, it was pretty great. Mm-hmm. We got to see Lindsay and then Ray open and then Harmon headlined.
Yeah, it was so cool. It was so much fun. And then tonight, when this episode airs, it'll be we will be opening with Lindsay again for our for Jenna Widener. So if you're in the Nashville area, go to nationalmusichouse.org to RSVP and get all the deets for all that.
Yeah, as soon as you RSVP, you'll get the
address
and all that good stuff.
All the good stuff.
Otherwise, I would say just show up.
Yes.
But if you don't know where it is, then
you we're not just going to tell you because it's at people's houses. We're not just going to say the address.
Be like, for everyone all of Instagram wants to know where Jenna lives. Actually, it's not even at Jenna's.
That's true.
But
so we'll just tell everyone. Well, ours is it's at Shannon's, so we can just tell people where Shannon lives.
It's not our. It's not our home that they'll be in.
Not our house. Anyway, sorry, Liv. Talk about your experience yesterday.
So, yesterday I went to the Van Gogh exhibit. I'm sure people have been hearing about it. It's like an immersive exhibit with music and stuff that you get to see some of Van Gogh's paintings and all that. So there's one in Nashville, and I think this is like its second run through Nashville because it's a traveling exhibit. So my mom and I got the chance to go yesterday. It was, first of all, just very cool. I think, Aiden, I think you should go because I think you would really like it. The way this one was set up was you walk in and it's immediately playing music. I should have written down the composer's name.
Oh, it was like a specific, it wasn't just like stock. It was composed specifically for this exhibit. Oh, wow.
No, it was like very thought out. We ended up watching it through four times. Like, because it's on, it's about a 20 minute thing and it just loops.
Mm-hmm. It's on all. And it's all like you're sitting in one spot and like it's projected on the walls around you.
Kind of. So you walk in and you know like what a dance room looks like where it has like a mirror on one wall.
Right.
And it's kind of like long. That's the first room. And there's two benches and you can just watch it. And that was kind of cool because you can, it's being projected on the wall behind you. And you can look facing the mirror and see it behind you. And all, it's just, I don't know if that makes sense. But then you keep walking and you open up into this huge gallery type thing. And there's like maybe 20 benches dispersed around. There's these glass sculpture figures. Mm-hmm. And then the whole room is projected. So it's behind you, all around you, on the floor. It's like you're just in it. And you can, I mean, we ended up sitting on a bench over on the right side. And then we walked over here and sat on the left. And then we sat on the floor on our cushions because they give you like a cushion to take around.
How many people were there?
It came and went because it's a walking thing.
Sure.
So it wasn't very busy.
You can just walk in and out?
Yeah, you walk around, you walk in the other room, you can walk upstairs, you can walk around. I can show you video. Sure. I don't know how to explain it exactly. Yeah.
I thought it was like you walk into one central room.
No.
You
it's
just
like
sit there and it projects around you.
No. You can it is basically one room. There's three rooms in total, but it's the same exhibit.
So why would you walk around? Wouldn't you just walk into one room and stay there and watch the exhibit?
Because from one angle, you can only see part of it. And from this angle, you can see more of it. It's a big exhibit over the whole room. So if you're sitting facing this wall, you're not going to see what's going on behind you. So you turn around.
So it's not like, but if you walk into a different room, it's going to be the same thing.
Yeah. But it's different, like.
So you were, not everyone was just walking in and standing in one place for the entire thing? No.
Sometimes people would come in and watch from their seat. You watch usually like one time through on this bench and then maybe a different time through facing in the different direction. I mean, most people did, but we stayed for four times because we just wanted to see the different aspects and angles that you could see it at. Does that kind of make sense?
Kind of.
I'll show you a video. But then you can go upstairs and that is where it's a smaller room and you can see it from a top.
Okay.
It's also being projected around you and behind you, but you can see the floor now.
Okay.
Which is cool because it's like part of, you can see the sunflowers, like when the sunflower painting comes up and everything.
That's cool.
Upstairs is also a bunch of glass sculptures. So the way it like projects on the glass is kind of interesting.
That's cool.
They have like places to take pictures. There's this one place, it's like this little booth that they have roped off. There's two of them that's like reserved. So you can like go and get a thing, reserve it for the night.
Cool.
Kind of cool. Anyway,
when you were there, you had a profound revelation.
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking about it. I'm going to look at it to make sure I wrote it down.
She wrote it down and everything.
First thing that I wrote down was empty your mind. because I think that's what Van Gogh was doing for us. He wasn't trying to like, I don't think, be like some profound painter or try to like replicate other people or anything like that. It was purely like, this is what he's thinking. This is my imagination of how this looks. And he did a lot of paintings of things around him.
Right.
People around him.
Pretty mundane. Self-portrait. Subjects.
He did like 7 self-portraits over the years or whatever. He did, fields and all that types of stuff. So that's just the phrase that came to me was he was just literally emptying his mind on the page. So then the other thing I wrote down was art, specifically like paintings and stuff, is a way to bridge the gap between reality and your imagination. I thought that kind of made
sense. That's good. Yeah, I like that.
And then that led me to think, so thinking that because, you know, we live in a physical world, but we all have, I mean, amazing imaginations. We can think things. That's why we're afraid of pain, because we can.
Sure.
Oh, that bee's going to sting me. I can feel it, even if you've never been stung by a bee before, you know? It's a, you can, so anyway.
Right.
But yeah, when you are able to make your imagination something physical, like a art or sculpture, or music or something like that, that's cool. So that made me think of what beauty is. Is it when something that you've imagined in your head and you witness it in real life, that's beauty. That's what is beautiful. So it could be, well, one thing is like, say you're in love and you see the girl around the corner and you're like, wow, she's so beautiful, because maybe she looks beautiful, but right. But it's like, you can't say she's the most beautiful, you know, this person or this person isn't more beautiful than the other.
Right.
In one way, you know,
right.
To what standards are we saying that, you know, you can't really say that. So, but it's the most beautiful to this person standing there, this guy that's saying this to her, because it's, he's imagined and wanted to be loved and to share love and to love someone, and to see that person in love with him is beautiful, because it's something that he's imagined probably. Or never thought would happen, or never, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's one thing. That's like, if like personal. And then, I don't know. I think this is another, this is more of a discussion, because I don't know yet. One day I could be walking by the river and not think anything of it and think more of the trees. But then the next day I might be walking by the river and think, oh, wow, the river's so beautiful. But why did I think that day it was and the other day it wasn't? I don't know. So there's that. So in nature, I don't know how that plays out, because I don't necessarily think all the time about rivers in my head and imagine them. So I don't know what you think about that.
It triggers a couple things in my brain. One, we talked a little bit about this before we started recording. And one thing was, I like the way you phrase it, that art is a way to bridge the gap between reality and your imagination. I think that makes a lot of sense, because I think art comes from the same word that artificial comes from. So it's not real.
Yeah.
But some, the best art is the best art, especially when it's fictional, because it represents such reality, right? It represents such real things.
Well, your imagination is reality too. It's not.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a real thing that we have. It's like literally science in our brain, you know.
I just finished reading Watership Down, and for pretty much every single scene that Dandelion was in, I was just like, I just want to give this guy a hug. I just love this character so much. And it was unique to him. I love all the, you know, I think every single character in that book is incredibly well written. But like Dandelion specifically, something about it was so real and so endearing to me that I just loved him so much. And I don't know, that's not... On one hand, going back a couple episodes with the one with Marge, on one hand, you could argue it's emotional manipulation. but I don't...
What is?
Art as a whole. Oh. It's tricking you into feeling something that isn't real.
I would say that's the negative. I would also say it in this tone. It's tricking you to feel something that's not real.
Sure. Yeah.
Like...
And I think that was...
I think that's okay. I don't think that's... Right. It's not...
And when me and Marge...
What, I don't know.
Right. When me and Marge were talking about that, we kind of resolved, no, it's not... It's artists aren't actively, evilly, with malicious intent, trying to trick you into feeling something for some, you know, grander scheme.
But I don't think that means that they're not trying to, like...
Right.
Draw out a feeling from you or an emotion.
Yeah.
Like, yes. Love, and maybe it is hate, or maybe it's whatever.
Mm-hmm. So... And that was kind of our consensus at that point was, on one hand, yes, it is. On the other hand, generally, I don't believe that it is trying to emotionally manipulate you in the way that horrible, evil, manipulative people try and emotionally manipulate you.
And maybe we can't, I mean, speak for every artist either.
Sure, yeah.
But generally, that's not what art does.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see that.
So going back then to your statement about like recognizing... When you see something in real life that is something you've imagined before, the example I brought up was, I have all these thoughts in my head and ideas and I can't figure out exactly how to articulate it or get to the root of it. And then I read C.S. Lewis. I mean, just a more recent example. I read C.S. Lewis and all of a sudden it's like, oh, that's brilliant. That's exactly what I was thinking. And you phrase it so perfectly and succinctly. Mm. And it's beautiful to me because of that, because it was in there in my imagination. It's this idea that, and this is like the idea, you remember the play Centaurs by Thornton Wilder?
No, I don't think I've seen that one.
I'm getting riled up. where it's Ibsen is about to put on this play called The Master Builder, and Shelley, the poet from like 100 years earlier, it's like in this... He's been dead for, you know, decades or whatever.
Okay.
But he's like, his ghost appears or whatever. And this discussion between Ibsen, Shelley, and then a character from Shelley's play. And Shelley's claiming, I wrote this, or I had the idea for this play, The Master Builder, but I just didn't write it down. And then I died. And then Ibsen said, and then you died. He drowns in the Mediterranean Sea. And it floated around. And then I was the one who caught it. And I was the one who wrote it down. So the idea exists out there externally to us. And we catch it. And then we... translate it. So it's a really great play. It's
so that's
really
what artists are, is like taking
So I think I think Plato calls it Camus, I think. That's at least in Centaurs they talk about that.
Okay.
But to me that's like, because this idea exists in my head and then I read C.S. Lewis wrote about it back in the 50s. And to me that is like, these are external things. These aren't just It's neurological things happen in my brain, and then it came up. It is an organic reaction to me uniquely, which to me proves a lot of other things as well.
Yeah.
But
so maybe this idea of the bridging the gap is more pertaining to the beauty of art and not necessarily beauty of like nature, because I don't know how quite
well
like your imagination.
Sure.
Can make nature beautiful. Well, I don't know, actually.
Real quick. So the question, what is beauty?
Yeah.
When we've asked that to most people, most people have referred to naturally occurring things, nature.
I know. Isn't that interesting?
And I think a big reason, this is a fairly new thought to me. I think the reason that nature is so beautiful to so many people might be because it's creation at its purest. Hmm. Cars are a creation. Art is a creation. Food is a creation that can be beautiful.
But
they're translated
man-made.
Through us. It can be a divine inspiration, but it's still filtered through broken, fallen
it's
people.
It's man-made,
Right.
I wonder also, nature and ocean and woods and jungles are also very unknown.
Right.
So that's interesting.
There's
too.
A mystery to it, and there's a...
It's
untouched.
Life. It's alive.
Yes.
But it's not, we're not able to communicate with it.
And like when we asked Hannah what is beauty, she brought up the ocean and how dangerous and powerful it is and how it made her feel small in the best way. Yeah. Of like, I'm small, but I'm also powerful. Richard Adams writes in Watership Down, man loves winter not because of the cold, but because it's defeated the cold. Huh. because it's able to, or something like that. It's phrased better, but it's like, because we now, we've outsmarted winter and we're now able to stay warm. That's why when winter comes, we've defeated it.
Yeah.
Keep, sorry.
Sorry. I just don't want to forget what I was going to say. I don't know if you do this, but my imagination, creates, do you have a character in mind for the ocean? Do you think of the ocean as one thing? And when it is crazy in a storm, I think of it as a living character almost, or the wind as it's coming through. I almost think of it as a being, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know if you do that.
I think I do.
Like, I don't often feel, and maybe it's the spirit of, you know, but I don't feel alone when I'm next to the water, even though it's the one of the more, you could go up to the North Shore.
Oh, wish we should.
Why do you say it like that?
You could go up to the North Shore. Go up to the North Shore now, don't you know?
Oh my goodness. Okay. You could go somewhere like that and be in completely by yourself or whatever. And so still feel like you're not alone, which is just strange. Amazing.
And that's, I think, up the North Shore specifically, Lake Superior, you know, which I've been to many times. It's like my favorite place on earth. There's so much history there. There's so much, like, and that's, I mean, that's only the past, like, 300 years or something that it's been. But, there's, like, this.
Well, it's always.
I mean, it's, but I'm saying the history goes back to, like, the settlers,
I got you.
The, like, French voyagers.
Okay.
And that's, like, really cool history, and that's, like, really cool to think I'm walking around. And it's still, I mean, obviously, you know, there's a highway there, but it's still just, like, a two-lane highway. So even there, historically, it hasn't been drastically changed since, like, the 60s or something. But even, you know, most of the woods have been like that, and the French voyagers walked through these woods. Like, that's really cool. And it's cool, you know, we're here in Nashville. Plenty of people have been here, and we could go, 200 years ago, more than likely someone famous walked around here somewhere, right?
Well, yeah, I think a lot of people.
Right.
But yeah.
I mean, yeah, I was just saying, but I don't know, there's something, maybe that's a bad example. But yeah, there's something alive out there.
Yeah.
And like you said, there's life out in nature. So how does that apply then back to humans? Are intellectually, intellectual. So that causes them to not
to reason everything.
Right. Trees just grow. They don't think about growing.
Right.
Stars don't think about being there.
Well, we don't think about every, I mean, Dave's brought this up a lot, especially like in Skyvault, but we're not thinking about how our blood is moving from our toes to our, you know, we're not thinking about our circulatory, whatever you call it, process.
You were so close.
You should have just committed. It would have been fine.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say circulation, and then you're like, circulatory. Oh! Oh.
Thanks.
Sorry.
You know what I'm saying, though?
So, right.
I know what you're mean.
But I think because we're not thinking of that, we're not acting purely on instinct, but we're also... So because of that, we have more time to think things through and reach wrong conclusions or overthink things or think about things that are not in the grand scheme that important. I was saying, how do we apply? I feel like nature has no faults of itself. Does that make sense?
Maybe. I don't know. It's hard to say because, like, we obviously have a soul,
right?
And hearts, and
that's what
trees don't. So I guess, like,
and so that's that. Nature has no faults of its own. Humans do, and I think therefore everything that humans have created do as well.
Sure. Oh, I see. Do you think though, and this is just a question, after the fall
of man, is that what you're referring to? Okay.
If nature and things are more corrupt than was in the Garden of Eden, and I would think,
Interesting.
Like, I wonder sometimes if
I've never thought
the Garden of Eden had seasons where things died and had to be grown back and renewed, or if they had seasons of fruit over specific times of year. I don't know.
It may have been just harvest season forever.
I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say because I know, like, Adam was instructed to take care of the garden, so it must have had to be what does that mean? I don't think he just stood and stared at it.
Right.
You know, so
but we're like, were weeds growing in right. the garden?
So like, so...
Was, what...
I don't know if this is... I don't think this is... I don't think the trees that are in heaven and the ocean that, or whatever is going to... I think it's going to be 10,000 times more
sure,
beautiful.
Sure, yeah.
So that makes me think that the earth is corrupt in nature.
That because of the fall...
I think we see glimpses
fall,
of God in it, but I don't think it's... at its purest form.
Sure. Right.
So that's...
And I don't think I'm saying that. I think I've never thought that, you know, because of the fall, we now have inherent sinfulness within us.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have never thought that maybe that also that extended out and affected the world around us, not just the people around us, but... Mm-hmm. The actual,
and I don't
like,
know.
Organisms.
Obviously, we don't
right.
know.
Right.
But that's just one.
Little I've thought. Never thought of that. That's really interesting. Do you think conflict can exist without sin? Right. So what conflict could have arisen within Eden before the fall?
Wow. I do not know.
These are the things I'm just like, whoa. Because it's just, it's like within a chapter, conflict. You're just like, boom, and now they're over there and the world's sinful. I guess it's two chapters.
I'm trying to think of like what the Bible says instead of just my own. Like
what the Bible says in the first two chapters of Genesis or
no,
about
just
conflict?
What it, about that, about mm-hmm. conflict. I mean, we're told to live peaceably with each other and be in harmony and...
Sure.
Well,
not to quote ourselves, but even in Eden, Adam prayed for a friend, which
is... That's a conflict?
It's not biblically accurate necessarily, but it is... God says it is not right that he should be alone.
Yeah.
The conflict is he needs community, right?
Yeah, but that's not... Okay, yeah. Sure. I didn't realize it was like that. I thought you meant more like personal conflict.
Sure.
Between
yeah,
two
yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I.
But yeah. I. Well, that's a very different discussion. Okay. Do you have anything else you want to say?
Nothing's coming to my head right now. But okay. We can keep. I don't know.
Well, this is a fun little two-part episode. Part we talked a little bit about where we want to bring the podcast and. Retouched on beauty again. We should keep coming back to it. If you want to get involved in the podcast in any way, shape, or form, reach out to us because that is something we definitely do want to take advantage of going forward.
Even if you have like a little thought about something we've talked about in the past or a new thought or a nice segment idea. Or
yeah. If it's a sentence or two, it's super, super easy.
I mean, it's super easy for us to record with you. We have ways of doing it.
So. Right. Kind of. Or even if you want to send us a text or an email that's three sentences long or something, you can go to our website, the Between Takes page, openentertainmentmusic.com/betweentakes, and there's a little form at the bottom that you can contact. Or you can just contact
so
anywhere.
So official.
It is pretty official. It's pretty wild.
I wonder if we should come up with a new Between Takes logo. It's gray right now. Could be a little bit of a drear.
You don't like the gray.
No, I liked it so far, but then I was just thinking the other day, I was like, maybe we need to revamp it.
I remember
Kicks
when...
Kicks and Giggles, season four.
We revamped the theme song, I guess. Which, I gotta say, when we kicked off, we changed it to season three. When we kicked that off, I remember texting like my entire family being like, hey, when you guys listen, because the before that, the theme song was like exactly the same every single time. I texted my whole family and said like, hey, when you guys listen to the podcast, do you listen through the whole theme song? And Hannah said something like, oh, I love the theme song. And Mal chimes in and was like, that wasn't the question, Hannah. And then Mal was like, no, I skip it. Because it's like you hit the skip 30 seconds twice and then you get to the actual episode. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, I got it. I think my mom complained about it once.
About what?
About the change of the theme song. She really liked the original.
Oh, really?
So, sorry, Don. Aww. We'll do a special. We'll bring it back every so often, maybe.
It is a good one.
It was fun.
But it's also fun to, like, be specific about the episodes.
Right. It's a different challenge to, like, find the key points within the episode and try and summarize it right off the bat.
Cool.
All right.
Thanks, everybody. Yeah. 1 year. We should be more excited.
1 year. 1 year between takes.
Well, thanks, everybody, for listening, who's been listening for the last year or have joined in on mm-hmm. whatever season. It's pretty great.
Yeah.
We've had fun.
If you want people, if you know people who might enjoy it, this is probably the time to get them involved, because we're going to, it's not going to be a drastic revamp, but I think we will try some new things and some things that might bring in people in a different way.
Might.
I said might kind of weird. You said North Shore kind of weird. I said might kind of weird. Okay. It all evens out.
All right.
Well, thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week for a brand new episode of
Between Takes.